You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Happy New Year! To celebrate, today's episode of Find the Call, Candid Conversations on Music is highlighting favorite albums of 2019, featuring four awesome guests who will be introducing themselves shortly. Before we get into the show, I just wanted to thank everyone who has supported Fly on the Call this year. I had literally no expectations for the show, and I love how well it has been received so far. I've got big things in the works for 2020, including a conversation with someone I've been dreaming of interviewing since before I even started writing about music. So please stick around and bring all your friends in on it. Thank you to each and every guest for speaking so openly to me and giving the podcast your time. Endless appreciation to The Alternative, who have their own top album list, which goes 75 deep. Thank you to Kaylin West of Tiny Stills for the theme song, and Michaela Jane Palermo for the artwork. And thank you for listening. You're so appreciated. Here's to a better year ahead.
Everybody, my name is Amanda Starling. I host Angry Girl Music of the Indie Rock Persuasion. It's an intersectional feminism podcast that has episodes that come out weekly. We talk to different musicians and industry folk across the independent music community and talk about things that they're excited about, whether it's what they're working on or some of their favorite music or movements, anything like that. And I also write and edit for The Alternative, who just put out the best top albums list ever. That's all I have to say.
Okay, yo. I'm Casey Crawford. I'm in a band called Virginity. We just put out an album called With Time a little bit earlier this year. I also do stand-up comedy. And is that it for me? We put out an album this year. It was not on the best list ever.
Major upset for me.
Okay, I'm Joel. I spend a lot of time talking shit on Twitter, posting gratuitous selfies on Instagram, and sometimes write for Substream. That's my elevator pitch.
Hey everyone, my name is Kayla. I write for The Alternative in the Gray State, and I also run the social media for Lost and Found Booking and Touring, and I spend a lot of my time between my day job and being embarrassing on Twitter.
And you know me, I'm your gracious host, Scott. I write for The Alternative and host this podcast.
So everybody listening, you should know that this is 1000% mood dependent, has nothing to do with any particular ranking for me. So I'll just go with who I've been jamming to at the moment. So this has been a big year for independent music. And I would say one of my favorite standouts that I got into this year was Harmony Woods. Make Yourself at Home was a incredible record. It felt very personal. A lot of really awesome unpacking of emotions that are otherwise really difficult, like tackling pain and harsh memories and stuff. But honestly, Sophia Verbilla does it better than anybody as far as I'm concerned when it comes to like emo songwriting. The sound structure feels familiar for a lot of us who were big fans of bands like Modern Baseball, You Blew It and stuff, but there's like this modern twist on it that's just perfect. This record's awesome. Feels like an invitation to just understand and heal from beginning to end. And I mean, my favorite tracks on that, without a doubt, are like Best Laid Plans and Sagittarius, just because there's so much like layered emotional impact throughout it all.
Yeah, I think when I heard the Harmony Woods album for the first time, I texted Scott maybe two songs in and was like, I don't know what you're doing, but you have to stop and listen to this record. It's so good. I thought it was a lot like listening to Home Like No Place Is There for me the first time, just because I was so like blown away by it. I went in with no expectations, didn't listen to the first Harmony Woods album, and was just totally blown away by what Sophia had done with that record. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a similar thing as Joel. I'd never heard of Harmony Woods, but there was a bunch of Twitter hype about it, specifically, I want to say, from Joel. And maybe Scott and a bunch of other people on it.
That release day for that was crazy. Like everyone popping on it.
It was a big day, but yeah, it rocks.
Yeah, the Lost and Found Twitter was a very fun place to be on that release day, just seeing all the love for it was just super awesome. And I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I was just sitting in bed with my mouth open. It was so incredible. I had never heard Harmony Woods before that. And hearing the record start, and by the time it ended, I was like, wait, is there more? I want to hear more. It was awesome.
I think I literally remember clutching my chest hearing, like, within the first couple of, like, chords within Best Laid Plans, where I was just like, yep, yeah, this record's going to just crush me, isn't it? And it did.
Same here.
I'll only say this once, just for the sake of saving the listeners' ears, but I concur with Amanda in saying that they're all number one for me, baby. I can't do a shitload of music this year, and these are my favorite ones. So, but I guess I'll start with a shorter one, which is Signals Midwest. Put out an EP called Pin that I really, really loved a lot. I don't have, like, again, like, it's similar to Harmony Woods. Like, I knew who Signals Midwest were. I had listened to their stuff a little in the past, and it didn't really hang with me. But just from the start of this one, it starts out with, like, this kind of electric piano ballad that is just, like, one of the best songs maybe ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like one of those songs that has, like, a number of lines in it where it's just like, man, there's gonna be so many people that have tattoos of this song. And then it just goes on to just absolutely rock ass for the next 20 minutes past that one. Just nonstop.
Rock ass. I love that. I'm gonna say that from now on.
Yeah, I know that was one that was on the alternative list, and I put on, like, the playlist that they put together, and I really liked the two songs that were on there, so I'm definitely going to check the rest of that one out.
Yeah, Signals Midwest EP is great. Similar to Casey, I think I've only listened to one Signals Midwest album before that, and it was pretty much exclusively because I had promised to review it when I ran 36 Vultures. And this EP... I mean, I like this EP a lot more than anything I've heard before, but specifically the song Your New Old Apartment with Deanna from
Sincere Engineer. Yeah.
Incredible, incredible. Just, this is leagues above what I expect from this band. So I guess it's my turn then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so unlike the last two, these are 100% ranked in order. As of, like, this is literally my number 10 for the year.
Goddamn, you're so
but
brave.
I've got 93 Punks, their self-titled album. It's the very loosely used or loosely punk rock album from rapper Vic Mensa. I just really liked his approach to it. It's very, but all of the songs still have huge pop hooks. It's like similar vein to what Post Malone is doing, but if he wasn't just talking about the same thing for albums at a time, all the time. And I just, you know, every song feels like it punches you in the face a little bit, and it was a pleasant surprise for me this year, to say the least.
All right, so I did number these because I have to have, like, everything has to have, like, a number associated with it, but I forgot, like, five albums, so it's fine, we're just gonna go with it. So mine, like, number nine is I'm So Glad I Feel This Way About You by Insignificant Other. This was actually, like, a really late addition into my list because I had just never really heard about them before I went to Fest, and then I saw them live and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so fun, they're so good. And then I listened to the whole album, and Unmasahe, I hope I'm saying that right, Unmasahe, I don't know, but...
Unmasahe.
Unmasahe, okay. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Oh my gosh. That is such a fun song. I love everything about it. And it's always the way when songs kind of mirror your life. And that's definitely how this song has its connection to me. I just felt as if I was living the lyrics the first time I heard it. And I was like, this is fantastic. This whole record is fantastic. But that song was really the standout song for me. I think it's just so fast, so fun, so catchy. It's just like everything I want in a fun song is in that track, and the whole record just really impressed me.
I think they set a record for number of hooks in indie, because honestly, I'm obsessed too. Like, I don't know. I think that you were totally hitting on this, Kayla, but like for me listening to Insignificant Other, I kind of felt like just Sim was really inviting all of us as listeners to kind of be their best friend for a minute, just because how vulnerable it all felt, but also so upbeat in a way that just felt just not too many people can accomplish that so perfectly in music. And that was just something I was obsessed with.
Yeah, I totally feel that.
Yeah, this is one I definitely, like, I feel like I listened to so much music this year, but I also have, like, more gaps in, like, the popular stuff that, or, like, the bigger stuff than, like, anything else, and this is one I think I listened to it through once, and I just haven't spent enough time with it. Like, I know I've been following Insignificant Other on, like, Twitter and taking note of their presence and everything for, like, I think a couple of years now, but I definitely need to spend more time with this one, for sure.
Yeah, this one's on my list, too. I will say, for me, this was a grower when I initially listened to it. I have a lot of mutual friends with Sim, so I'm pretty sure that's how I heard about it. And I listened to it when it first came out, and I was like, that's pretty good. But then, and I assume this is the hooks, I kept coming back to it, even though it didn't grab me immediately. I guess it kind of did, just not in the way where I'm like, oh shit, this is incredible. But then I got to the point where I was like, oh shit, this is incredible. I mean, it's like a perfect like pop album. It rocks. Also, we played with Insignificant Other this past weekend, so I could see a bunch of these songs played live a couple days ago, and it rocked.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
You love that.
And I guess that makes it my turn. So I will start off with Vanity by Lizzie Ngo. This is kind of like, I guess in some ways, an outlier for me. It's a country album with definitely, it has like rock elements to it as well. But I grew up on country and I don't really listen to it much anymore. But I feel like every year there's kind of like one, you know, album that like makes its way through that like even people who aren't necessarily into country will kind of like be talking about, and it'll make me check it out. And this is one. It actually features Bartice Strange, who I've been a fan of for a while, on guitar. And it's honestly like production wise, like one of the best albums that I've heard all year. Like it sounds so like smooth and clear in your ears, and just like the storytelling and Lizzie's delivery. And you know, so this is one that I really enjoyed. And if you want to hear more about it, then she was on the podcast, as are many of the people who actually are on my list.
What a beautifully shameless plug that was. Incredible.
<Love it. laughs> If it makes you feel any better, I think at least 90% of the people on my list have been on my podcast. So I'll go ahead and plug away too.
Yes, I always love when we have crossover too.
Right? It's so much fun. I feel like I'm doing like virtual high fives with you every time it happens. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that Kayla will actually share my hype with this one, because I'm going to talk about Future Teens next.
I'm going to share in that hype too, but go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we all were like feeling this record, because I don't know about how everybody else here feels, but I feel like Future Teens, though, when they first kind of came out on the circuit, they did brand themselves as bummer pop, which is 1000% true. But I have the sincerest feeling that they are actually experts in the subject of heartache, because breakup season is just so profound when it comes to like unpacking that. And I mean, I have always loved their music, but they've somehow gotten more raw and more impactful. I didn't think that you could dig deeper at like healing wounds and stuff, and understanding how to like process breakup and pain and just sadness in general. But like Future Teens has found a way to go even harder and even deeper in that way. But at the same time, they're always so catchy and impactful. And I don't know, I love that I can dance to Frequent Crier, and I can also like get really fucking sad listening. Oh, can I curse?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm a sailor on my podcast, is why I'm like, let me check. Thank you. But I can like, you know, just lose it to like past tense. And I just think that they are the exact prescription for whenever you need to like reflect on a broken heart. And if you also need to dance about it, it's okay, because they'll dance with you. Also, future teens are literally the most pure humans ever.
They are so nice.
My dogs are best friends with them.
I love that. I actually have like a short little synopsis about Breakup Season. I listened to that album for the first time as I was eating lunch next to the Charles River. And then I heard,
oh, man.
Yeah. And then I heard Amy said, I want to throw myself in the Charles. And I felt so like, I felt it tug on my heartstrings. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so deep. But also, yeah, like Amanda said, it just has a lot of fun hooks that I want to dance to, but sometimes I want to cry to, and that's okay. And I think it's a really good record for not knowing if you want to cry or dance, so you just do whatever you feel like doing when you put it on. And yeah, it just, it's a really good record. I have to commend Future Teens for just elevating everything that they did on their first album with this one.
Yeah, it's, I would echo everything y'all said. This is like, if I was forced to put these in order, this would be way the fuck up there. I've listened to it probably 500 times since it came out. Like it's an incredible, I love a breakup album. and for me, like, this Reliant K album, Forget and Not Slow Down, is just like, to me, like the epitome of the best breakup album of all time, until I heard this. So it held that record for over a decade.
Wow.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's just so good. And like, I love, to me, like in music, like the most important thing, or the thing I latch onto first, is lyrics. And I love specificity, like and weird shit, and they're super specific about all their like locations and stuff. Yeah. I love a specific song.
yep.
And also, I would give them credit, a huge credit, for making one of the like biggest hooks of their song saying, "I'm not okay." It's a bold move. It's a bold move, because there's one very huge one. And you know what? And now, that's not the first thing I think of when someone says I'm not okay.
Yeah, I definitely mirror what everyone's saying. And I also want to throw in that they kick ass live. I saw them opening for the Wonder Years for the Halloween shows. I unfortunately missed the Carly Rae Jepsen cover set, but seeing some of these songs live was really what really made the album click for me.
I was at that show.
I think I saw them cover at least Call Me Maybe one time this year. I can't remember if it was at Fest or if
it was... they played it at Fest.
Yeah, that was it. I was trying to remember, because I saw them like three times this year. Thank God. That's a blessing in itself. But I loved that cover, so I can only imagine a cover set being just sick.
It was incredible.
And this is going to be one where a bunch of us get our fucking two cents in on this one too, which would be Oh So Oh So Basking in the Glow.
Oh man.
A collective sigh of pleasure. yeah, I mean, it's like, again, like, this is like a band, this is kind of like the theme of my list, is this is like a mostly a group of bands that I wasn't super blown away with until their release this year. And that's the same with those. So like, there was like a handful of songs I liked from Jade, but overall I wouldn't have, they were like, they had songs that I would put in like playlists. I wouldn't just like bang out a whole albums until this one. And just from the get-go, it's nonstop good times. I've got this is a big car jam for me, because I've got children. And my kids fucking love Basking in the Clouds. So that is it's probably up in my like most listened to shit, just because anytime we get in the car, they're like, oh, put on the one where he's talking about playing in my house. I'm like, all right, here we go. This is great. I'm glad you guys want to listen to this. Garbage.
Yeah, I think this is the same thing for me. Oh, the Pillow's album where I'm like listening to the full thing front to back and not just listening to like two songs or a song here and there. But I was just, I mean, blown away by this record. I mean, I guess the best comparison I can make is like, this is Jade finally hitting like their stride. This is very Third Eye Blind level, huge pop rock hook songwriting that I'm just, I don't know, I can't get enough of it. It's on repeat every time I listen to it.
Same. Yeah, I guess I have a similar with you guys where I haven't really been super into anything they've done in the past, but since you've had that experience of loving this one, I guess I'll have to go back and put some more effort into it, because I might have listened to it once, but I'm not sure. It's one of those bands where I feel a little bit guilty for not like fully checking out.
I want to say standout tracks if you need one. Wake Up Next to God is like probably one of the best songs I've heard this year.
But yeah, I remember hearing this and being like, how haven't I heard any of these songs beforehand or anything about like this artist beforehand? Because this is amazing. And it's one of those records to me where I was just so impressed and so blown away by it that I was like, I have to see this live. And I did, and it was amazing to see it live too. So if you haven't seen them live yet, I definitely recommend it.
Well, they are going on that big Prince Daddy tour.
Oh god,
was it?
Damn,
it's them, Prince Daddy, and who else?
Real. Just Friends and Sincere Engineer.
Yeah.
That's
what a. Man, I was gonna say what a fucking monster of a tour.
So I've got Grayscale's Nella Vita as my number 9. It was huge leaps and bounds above anything I expected from this band. Listening to their last full length, I think their debut with Fearless, I kind of wrote them off as just another band that kind of was trying to sound like Mayday Parade. And then I heard In Violet for the first time back in, I want to say June, and was hooked right away. I mean, this album is full of huge dancey pop choruses that like you can easily move to until you're like stopping to listen to what they're singing about, and you're just like, oh shit, I could probably curl up in a ball right now and cry listening to this thing. It's so beautifully written, but just leagues above anything this band's done before, and I wouldn't be shocked if this is like the band in this wave of bands coming out of pop punk to blow up.
Awesome. Yeah, I know like a couple of songs have come up on like Spotify mixes for my girlfriend, and I definitely dig those, but again, one that I need to dig a little more into.
That's definitely a good way to sum up my music taste, is songs that might have come up in a Spotify mix for my girlfriend.
All right, so number 8 on my list is Lover by Taylor Swift, and I love this record so much. I actually wrote a little bit about it in my Ultimate Guide to Taylor Swift for the Alternative. I'm just going to put that out there. It's up now. But I think it's her masterpiece record. And there's so many songs that I can just tell are going to be instant classics, like Cruel Summer and Cornelia Street. I think they're just so catchy, but also very vulnerable, and Taylor's always been a very vulnerable artist, but this album she managed to balance vulnerability with dancing, music style, and songwriting, and it just all came together in a perfect package of maturity, which is a side of Taylor that I think needs to be explored. So I'm glad she did it with Lover, and I really recommend it. It's so good.
Yeah, I'm happy she was able to take the fuck you vibes from Reputation and kind of just mix it in with what she was doing prior to that. I think this is probably her most diverse body of work. And it's good that nothing feels completely lost in the shuffle. Like, you can go from a song like Lover, then there's The Man, and you've got Paper Rings, and each of those have a different, very distinct mood, but they all feel pretty coherent in what she did with this album.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm not well versed in Taylor Swift, but yeah, I can definitely second the plug for Kayla's write up, because that was a very enjoyable read for me.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to, I guess, break the rules a little bit. I'm going to say, talk about Samaya's compilation, which it was released in 2019 as a vinyl compilation, and it's songs from back to 2017 up to 2019. And I actually discovered it because I think she was on like my explore page or whatever for Apple Music because recommended it was like songs, if you like Sir Baby Girl, then you'll like this. So I just kind of randomly checked it out, and you know, I pretty much like fell in love with the music right away. Especially for the compilation itself, like the track listing or like the sequencing is like really, it flows just like a record. And like, so I'm like, I have a playlist of it specifically the way it is on the vinyl, because it really does, it feels very cohesive. Like if you didn't know it, you would think that it was just a record, not the songs spaced out for like 2 years. And I think like my favorite track is probably 21. She has this line where she's like, I'm 100 and fucking something pounds or something like that. And it's just like, the delivery of it is like, so kind of like matter of fact that you can't help but have it like catch your ear. Yeah, I guess just kind of that similar. It's just, it's like kind of like a indie rockish style, which is obviously very broad, but kind of like the like energetic with almost like a little bit of not like twang, but like that kind of you know, like bouncy feel a little bit like that. And yeah, so just, and she went on tour with she opened for Remo Drive earlier this year, and I was very sad that I wasn't able to make one of those dates.
Let's see here. Which one? Okay. I'm going to go with, Foxy Dads in case you missed it. So I'm a huge fan of people who just cannot be put into a box as far as sound goes. And, Alana Hope is one of the people who just genre defying on a regular basis, though there's a little bit of hip hop influence. There's a lot of pop. When I talked to Alana, they told me actually that their record had some Hillary Duff influence, which I could feel at one point.
Incredible.
Right? And I thought that was iconic. And honestly, I love just how they took their time writing and putting together this record. So that way, whenever they released it, it was completely on their terms. It was something that was going to be impactful to people like me who've been following for some time. And just like, yeah, everything that they did, all the collaborations that went into it. And I don't know, I just felt so emotionally kind of embraced by so much of it, whether you're listening to songs like Dissolve. I really like the collab that they did with Alex from Diet Sig at the opening. I thought that was really cool. Just their layered vocals was just a nice touch. And then, yeah, all the songs just had this way of feeling good, making me feel like you're in motion, because Alana mentioned that they wrote the songs a lot while driving since their commute changed and stuff, which is interesting because you can kind of get that vibe listening to the record of just like feeling like you're in motion and with your thoughts in that way. And I just love the energy that Alana brings to music. So everybody should definitely, if you're not already, listen to Foxy Dads. They are a brilliant act.
Yeah, I think I'm going to cue that up after I'm done here because I haven't listened to the record yet, but I've seen it, talked about it.
Yeah, it's a favorite for me.
I definitely will put it on my list because I love Hillary Duff's music. And anything that has to do with Hillary Duff music, I am completely on board with.
Yeah, I think they're just like a big fan, honestly. And like, I can feel a little bit of that influence because you were talking about just like how like surprisingly dark Hillary Duff's music is. And that's the same kind of vibe you get from time to time with like Foxy Dads.
Yeah, come. Oh, 100%. Clean is really
good. Coming clean, incredible.
Yeah, I'm sold on it. Down with Duff. Oh, well, I'm adding it right now to Spotify.
Down with Duff. We make that the like chant for like going into this new like Lizzie McGuire reboot and everything.
Well, that's gonna be big in this house.
Right now. Love it.
But it's gotta be I'm down with Duff, because otherwise it sounds like you're saying.
Oh yeah, that does like sound like we're
True.
Thanks for the catch. Before I hit tweet. Right, it's out there.
Okay, I'm going to get this this juggernaut out of the way here. Pup, Morbid Stuff. Pup's the best band. they're the best band. I've been loving Pup every album. Like from their debut sounds like a fully fleshed out band that's been a band for years. because they don't sound like anyone else. There's a sound that is distinctly Pup, and that's what they sound like. And so I felt like with their next album, they improved upon that even more. And then with this one, with Morbid Stuff, it's even more of that. It's they have somehow retained the sound that makes them singularly them, but it has mass appeal, which I don't even know how they did 100%. That because their songs are so fucked up sounding sometimes. So it's just... It's a perfect album from top to bottom. I went and saw one of the dates of the tour, and it's the most intense crowd I've ever been in. I was sore for like 2 weeks. It was brutal, but it was awesome. Yeah. And I think they're going to, I remember distinctly thinking when I saw, I went to Washington, D.C. to see them at Black Cat.
Holy shit.
And I distinctly remember thinking while I was there, it was sold out. I was like, this will be the last time that I'll ever have the opportunity to see them in a room this small.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a fucking workhorse of a band. Their tours are insane. And they're definitely, like, for me, they're one of the bands where I kind of have to be in, like, the right mood to listen to, like, their, like, abrasive, like, punk style. But, like, when I am in that right mood, I'm just like, this is, like, the only cure for it.
I think you'd love Morbid Stuff then, because it's a lot. I feel like lyrically it's more in your face and dark, but sonically it's not as abrasive as past stuff was.
Agreed.
But this is a band that I feel like I completely owe all of the thanks in the world to Jamie Coletta for like relentlessly shoving down my throat, and I feel like everybody's throat at one point. But I mean, this band is huge, so she knows what she's doing. Yeah, I'm gonna throw out another big record for me. I have Fandom by Waterparks. This is a band I did not care about at all before this album cycle. I thought Austin might be one of the most annoying social media presences I've ever had the displeasure of coming across. I thought their songwriting, their songs were just obnoxious and kind of boy bandy. But something, when I heard Turbulent, which was the lead single for this album, I was just hooked at how much darker that was sonically than the rest of what they had done previously. And when Fandom came out, it was just for me nonstop. I think I listened to that record 4 times front to back on repeat, and that was a pretty big release day. I think that was the same release day as Harmony Woods and the Menzingers. But this record, just the way that they approached songwriting, they like completely scrapped an entire album they had set because they weren't happy with how it sounded, deconstructed a lot of the songs that were made for that record to make Fandom, and it's just a beautifully, like, huge, big pop hooks, very dancey, but all of the songs are really, really dark, and they just talk about the chokehold of being in the public eye and how that affects your ability to authentically communicate with your audience without wondering how your audience is going to react to it all the time.
I always love a good album teardown.
All right. So next up on my list, which I'm sure will be on a lot of lists as well, is Never Not, Never Not, Never Not by Rosie Tucker. I first listened to this record when it first came out, and I was like, oh, okay, that's good. But then I was going through it a little bit, and I put this record back on, and I was like, this is the best album I've ever heard all year. I think that the songwriting is so different and the song building is so unique in the scene. And I really think that Rosie Tucker has implemented a place that is just so unique and so special. And I want to give a special shout out here to the song Lauren, because it is such a pretty song. I think it's gorgeous. Every time I listen to it, I feel like I am covered in shimmer and I'm just dancing along my way, even though the lyrics are kind of sad and reflective. I think they're also kind of fresh, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I have to admit, I listened to it for the first time yesterday because it won the alternatives number one. But I really enjoyed it. I totally agree with what you are saying about like it being kind of just like carving her own like spot within like the genre. And I'm definitely looking forward to like continuing to have it in my rotation and digging a little deeper into it.
This is another one I'm going to be adding to my list of stuff to check out, just because I haven't actually given this a fair shake.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to also.
So I guess we're back at me, and I'm going to go with Proppers. I spent the winter writing songs about getting better. Which, I mean, they won me over the first time I listened to The Suburbs Have Ruined My Life. They won me over with their Wonder Years references, and they continue to do so. But it's really just, I feel like their music is, you know, it's like really...
I said it's a breath of fresh air, the songwriting on this album.
For sure. It's I feel like it's kind of like just like nonstop. It's like a, you know, once it starts, it keeps going. You know, very like lyrically dense, but a lot of like lines that you can pick out. I mean, I can't remember which song it is, but the opening line, what do you call a guy who gives, who doesn't give but expects to get head, you don't, is like one of my favorite lines this year. So good. And yeah, I mean, just a truly awesome band that I feel like is doing something that, yeah, like you said, a breath of fresh air to the scene is a great way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, that album's incredible. We're sort of, we're internet friends with Proper as a band. Okay. We're going to play together at some point. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
That album is so good, start to finish. It's, I want to say it's important. Like, thematically, like, yeah, I mean, I feel like it gives a voice to a group of people whose voice probably isn't super heard in music and stuff. And I love how open he is about his sexuality and stuff. I think that's fucking badass. I literally don't have the balls to talk about sex as openly as he does. It's killer. And then the I would say like the last song where he just kind of so goes good. On that like 8 minute long tear where he's just talking is like, I listen to that sometimes when I work out because it just fucking gets me pumped. It's so sick.
Yeah, I definitely teared up the first time that came on.
Yeah, many tears have been shed to Proper's record. I feel like as a Black woman in the scene, I don't have a lot of representation when it comes to just songs in general. So having an album like Proper's is something that is so special. And even with their first record under their old name, I felt such a connection to their music, and it was a connection that I had not yet felt since I heard Stained Glass Ceilings by the Wonder Years with that, the guest feature that they had about just race in general. And I definitely agree with the statement that this record is so important because it is. It gives a voice to so many people who just feel like there's not a place in the scene for them because of how they look or because they don't see themselves represented. So this record, I'm so glad that it's just taken off because it deserves it. And Proper is an incredible band and I can't wait to see them live. I hope I get to in the near future. And yeah, I just, this record is incredible.
Absolutely. I just can't imagine like hearing Lime Green Jerry Curl and not thinking that this band is doing something just so incredible with the space they've carved for themselves in the scene, and I just can't wait to see how much bigger they continue to get.
Okay. So I have to preemptively say this, that the people who wrote this record are two of my favorite people in the whole wide world, but there's no bias here when it comes to talking about their music, and I'm talking about Slingshot Dakota. They put out Heavy Banding, which, you know, if you had to do the gun to your head, pick your favorite album of the year, I'd have to say it's this one. Because honestly, I have never felt more seen in music than listening to this record because it's all about self-improvement, self-realization, finding your voice, and really just helping uplift other people. There's so many great themes throughout this record, and I feel like Slingshot Dakota has fully embraced their voice, their presence, who they want to be as a band, And this record is just so impactful for so many people because it does lend that example. And that's what Slingshot Dakota has been doing for so long, is kind of setting an example for other bands that they can achieve if they work hard, they can put out music that is meaningful to them if they decide to write that way. And Heavy Banding is just such a testament to that. And, you know, I feel so seen whenever I hear songs like Weird Like Me, because growing up as the weird kid, I still am the weird kid, let's be honest. But feeling like it's okay to be who you are because there are people out there who embrace you for that. Or like Louder, where I took that as a rallying cry for everybody who isn't a straight white dude in music to like stand together and support each other and let our voices be heard in spite of all the bullshit that tries to keep us quiet or ignored and stuff. So I just felt like it was really important to have this record out. And it's definitely one that I'll be listening to for years to come. It's certainly changed my life. And yeah, everybody, if you are not supporting Slingshot Dakota, fix that, because this is a really important pair of people who are just like defying genre, defying sound, defying what it means to be within a community, because they are redefining it in a way that makes everybody feel embraced and included.
For sure, yeah. I mean, Louder is like one of the biggest fucking jams all year, like without a doubt. And I just love what they, I love that they've, like you said, embraced who they are and like not giving a shit about what everyone else wants them to be. And like, I feel like that is, that like encompasses all of the band, like from their social media presence to their music and like the way they run their shows. Like they are super into like having local bands on their shows and, you know, like supporting the local scenes and making sure that it's not all straight white dudes and like everything like that. Like, I just feel like everything about this band is so kind of like cohesive and just like they're doing exactly what they want to.
Yeah, that's what I love about them. And I feel like they've set the example for so long that a lot of bands, frankly, are just now starting to kind of adopt. Been doing this for over a decade of like, you know, this is what we should be doing as a community. And it's kind of cool to see that reflected back and so many other bands who are taking on that more like impactful DIY mentality and stuff. So yeah, I always feel like I want to celebrate Slingshot Dakota in general because they're just awesome people making awesome music. But yeah, this is a really impactful record, no question.
And Carly Commando's keyboard live is just, that's an experience. It is an experience.
I feel
experience.
Like I'm in church. I'm in church whenever she's playing. That is literally my religion at that point, honestly. Like, just because... nobody makes me feel that way with keys other than like Carly, no question.
Yeah, Heavy Banding's the fucking most punk record that came out the entire year.
Yes.
I saw them 3 times this past year. Every time was better than the last. And there's something to the church analogy. It's just, as somebody who grew up in like a very pretty Southern Baptist home, something about that fucking organ really does resonate with a deep down part of me that I can't quit. I quit God. I can't quit organ.
Just evokes that emotion back for a moment. I love it.
Yeah, this record, wow. That's pretty much all I have to say about it. And when I saw them at Fest, it was life-changing, because when they played Casino Night, I just started bawling. Like, I don't know where the tears came from, but I just completely just lost it. And it probably like was the keys. I don't know. The keys are just magical, but oh my gosh, just like hearing it live made the record click even more for me. So I'm really glad that I got that experience. And this record is just, I think it is just so inspirational. And so it's a really good testament to just growing up, and I appreciate that.
I'm gonna go with this will be a short one probably, but I'm gonna say this band Off Day put out an EP called Pee Naked, which is a ridiculous name. It's a killer's six songs. They're all bangers. It's just killer kind of semi-technical emo type stuff. Okay. And they're friends of ours. Like, we became bands like around the same time, and so we played together a lot. But I legitimately do think it's one of the best things that's been put out this year. And I just want more people to listen to it because I think it's incredible. I think they're an incredible band.
Nice.
Well, they definitely got me with the EP name, so I'll check it out.
Now we're on to Joel. The spotlight's back on me. So I've got Can't Swim's Foreign Language EP next. It's a pretty big departure from what this band usually does. It's 6 or 7 pretty intense, like hardcore songs. It's very political start to finish. I wasn't sure what to expect going in. The only single they had pre-release, I think, was Filthy Rich, which hooked me right away. And I've just been, this is one that I listen to every time I put it on. It's 2 or 3 times in a row because it's so short, but I just can't stop listening to it. And it's just good, fast, angry shit.
You're making me feel like I need to go give it. I really love Can't Swim's first two releases, specifically the second one. This one did not, maybe it's just the fact that it's so heavy and I was expecting, I guess, more of the same. But that's not a good, that's not a good way to look at it. So
they usually have those huge hooks, so I understand being a little like thrown by it. But I only got into Can't Swim maybe 4 months ago. And that's because Kat from Pure Noise was tweeting about them nonstop at the beginning of the year. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll give this band a shot finally. And then once I did, it just all kind of fell into place.
So next on my list is To Name All the Bees in the Backyard by Bitch Seat. I think this record has the potential to be underrated. And I really hope that it's not, because it is just such a perfect place in the scene. I think this record needed to be released, and I'm so glad that something like this is in the scene. I love all of the songs, like Bathroom, about just wanting a friendship like you find in the women's bathroom. I think that's so relatable. And Participation Trophy is right on the nose, how sometimes all you can do is just your best, and that's all that you really need to do for the rest of the day. And I think that needs to be said more. So this record is just, I think it's just so great.
Yeah, it's definitely, I listened to it a couple times, and I feel like I remember getting very cool 90s vibes from it, and just like being impressed by like just the sheer like different amount of different sounds that are in it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It does have a very distinct 90s sound, and I also think the vocals are just very interesting and something I don't hear a lot. And I think Taylor and Chris do a great job producing vocals on this record.
I'm going to hit on the second Aaron West full-length, Routine Maintenance. As we mentioned, I'm a Wonder Years nerd, and this is Dan from the Wonder Years side project, so that already checks boxes for me. But you know, just it's a very concept album, you know, all about this specific character, Aaron West, and Dan's like kind of mapped out, you know, his entire life, which is, I just think it's such a cool thing, like as an art project in general. And, you know, the music really backs it up. It's kind of like Americana-y rock. You know, this, I feel like this album specifically is like a really good payoff of the, you know, the world that he's been building for this last like 5 years that since the debut came out. You know, the first album is all about him kind of like dealing with the immediate aftermath of his wife leaving, and this album finally sees the divorce becoming official, and him kind of like moving on with his life. He goes across the country. He, you know, kind of finds friends along the way. He starts a band, and then he ends up back home with his family because his sister's husband had passed away, and he kind of becomes like a father figure to his nephew. And, you know, so the story is like just really, you know, cohesive and touching, and the vocal delivery is, you know, what really kind of just brings it home for me, like on the song Just Sign the Papers, which is dealing specifically with the divorce. Like you can like hear the emotion. It's like it you would think that he experienced it directly. And I just think it's very impressive, you know, how that all came together.
Nice. I'll have to give this one a shot. I usually have a weird issue with getting into singers' side projects.
I love side projects. I'm like such a
I love side projects. I'm just not crazy about when the vocalist does it. I think I also harbor a little bit of resentment because when the first Aaron West record came out, I had applied to be a writer at Property of Zach with a review for that, and they were like, nah, bro, we'll pass, but thanks.
It's funny. I'm about to talk about another record, and I'm starting to realize a theme where I think I really like records about self-acceptance and growing up. At least that's my theme for 2019. Because the next record I'm going to talk about is Lilith's Safer Off, and that's definitely a big part of what they put together. I'm a huge Lilith fan, I'd say, for probably about the last year. I've been jamming to some singles that they had floating around that are also on this record, like I'll Come Over and Vacation and all that stuff. And it's just like, this is a band who I just love how much personality is in their music, how energetic they are, but also how they're like unafraid of confronting memories and, you know, the ways that people treated them shitty. And they do that in a way that's really fun and really colorful with their music. I always picture colors whenever I listen to their music, because it's always so vibrant and stuff. And I think that's something that they kind of intend to do and everything. But yeah, their music just is so diverse in sound, because sometimes you'll have this like upbeat poppy stuff. I know that they're fans of Spice Girls and stuff, so it's like that's totally a vibe in there sometimes. Just like that sing really loudly with your best friends kind of vibe, if you know what I mean. And then but sometimes they'll get to where they're really reflective and somber in songs like Coward and stuff. And I don't know, they're just a really tight band. I think they deserve way more recognition than what they've gotten so far in 2019, because they are really tight songwriters. And yeah, I can't wait to hear what they do next, because they are awesome.
Yeah, Lilith rocks. I found out about them because they were guests on Emo Trash podcast, and they were talking about how much they love the first Good Charlotte album, which will, if anybody says they love the first Good Charlotte album, I will instantly look at anything they do, because the shit fucking rules. So I went and listened. It's an incredible album.
I definitely agree. The album is just really, from start to finish, just full of bangers. And I love Lilith. They're so much fun live, and I think they're just a really fun band.
They're so good. And like, I'll tell you this for sure, Scott, they are really fun podcast guests.
Oh, awesome.
I'll go ahead and drop that for you, just because I like, they're so silly, and you can just ramble and have so much fun with them. They're so great.
Nice. I'll have to go back and check out that episode too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say I must have missed that one, because I pretty much listen to you on the weekly.
Aw, thank you. That means a lot.
I'm going to go with Chris Farron, Born Hot. An absolutely ridiculous fucking name for an album full of songs about somebody that definitely does not believe they were born hot. Which, I mean, I get it. That's the point. He has a very like self-aggrandizing persona online, but all of Born Hot is just about basically feeling like you're not good enough all of the time. I love it. This is a kid bangers. My kids fucking love this album. So I've listened to it a lot. I'm actually, this is very exciting. My oldest kid, he's 13, he's a boy. He fucking really took a shine to this album, like so much. And I haven't told him this yet, but we're opening for Chris Farron in February, and I'm going to bring him, and it's going to be fucking awesome. I'm going to blow his mind.
So sad.
But yeah, it's great. It's, you know, it's all danceable. There's a great sense of humor to it, I guess. Like all the songs are funny. Lots of them are very, it almost works like a comedy album at certain points. And it's great. And Chris is a real nice guy.
Yeah, he's another one of the people that I feel guilty for not, checking out more. But I do love his online persona, and I love the Christmas album, so I should definitely give his other stuff a shot.
All right, so my next one, I have Telethon's Hard Pop next. This is another one of those bands. They have, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 albums before this one, but this is the first record that really made my radar. I can't get enough of this record. It's huge and weird, and it's like a Fountains of Wayne album if Fountains of Wayne was covering Bruce Springsteen. Like, the songwriting is just so big and cinematic, and like you get sucked into everything they're talking about, but it's so so quirky and so uniquely their own sound. Especially like right off the bat, that riff in Loser / That Old Private Hell just immediately, like, it just kind of grabs you and throws you through the rest of the album. It's incredible start to finish. I can't get enough of this album.
Yeah, Telethon, I've been a fan of since their 90-minute, 30-song rock opera, The Grand Spontanean. And
you're a better person than I am.
I mean, that was respected the tenacity of doing that, and I definitely, so that was like the in. And I mean, it's a lot of album, but there's definitely, like, I could see that there were a lot of really good, like, bones to it. And then, you know, the one that really gets me is the Modern Abrasive EP. It just hits all my boxes somehow. I'm not sure what it is about it, but I fucking love it. And, you know, Hard Pop is just kind of like another step of, you know, really great, solid, kind of like hard pop music. Just that first line, the magic of being a loser is that nobody has to find out, that sums it up so well.
Hard pop rocks.
Yeah, and the ballsiness of just going full ska on Wander Party was impressive. Lifelong fan.
All right, so next on my list is Fever by Megan Thee Stallion. And usually I'm not the biggest fan of hip hop because I just can't relate to, like, having a lot of money and dancing on fancy cars. But I adore Fever. I think it is the female empowerment in hip hop that I've been looking for since Nicki Minaj's The Pink Print. And I finally have it. And it is just, it really gets me going. I love working out to it. I love Megan's flow. I love how confident she is, and her Twitter presence is just so positive, and I think it really adds to the message of the record, and I love it. It's great.
Yeah, Megan's supposed to have some incredible music. I've heard, like, small bits here and there, but, like, I hear that this record is just phenomenal, Kayla.
It really is. Oh my gosh, it blew me away.
Adding to my list.
Yeah, I'm going to add that also, actually, because I also like hip-hop, but also can't relate to having a shitload of money and dancing on cars.
If only we were one of the lucky few.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so I'm going to go next with Sir Baby Girl's Crush on Me, which is just fucking, it's insanely awesome pop. DIY pop. It's so great. It's so much fun. I mean, it's like super, like, over the top, I guess. I found Sir Baby Girl when I saw them on tour opening for Petal, and it was a lazy Sunday night winter show, and we were both wearing sweatpants, and I was not expecting what I heard. And after going and checking out their social media, I realized that experience was totally not normal. They're very over the top in their show as well, with crazy costume changes. They've had, you know, background dancers and everything like that. I think it's super well constructed. A remastered edition already came out, and it sounds even better. It includes a cover of Kesha's Praying, which is just, it's a perfect cover, song. In my opinion. It's so amazing. That song and Pink Light are probably my two of my favorites. I feel like that's where Kelsey's like musical singing chops really shine through. And then there's songs like Heels and Flirting With Her, where she, it's just kind of like, you know, screaming at the top of your lungs pop. And, you know, it's just, it hits all the boxes for me. I feel like I've been saying that a lot, but it's one that I've continuously gone back to. And it's kind of just like a feel good record that'll get you dancing no matter what.
Nice. I'll have to go back and look at this one. I remember you talking to me about it earlier in the year, but I'm excited to go back and listen to the remastered version.
Yeah, it's so good. And I mean, she's gotten so much coverage from Rolling Stone, Billboard, like pretty much everywhere. Like, I'm very excited to see what's coming next for her.
So I think I'm going to ride that like high energy train here and actually bring up another really awesome record here, which is Charlie Bliss's Young Enough. That record, that one hit me out of nowhere. And it was probably about a couple months after its release. Kayla, I think maybe you were tweeting about it a lot or somebody was. And I was like, I got to check out this record because it's getting hyped. And I went and I unpacked it and I realized that this was the best record ever written about growing up and about maturing and about finding yourself and stepping away from bad habits, bad relationships. And I have a hard time finding words for it sometimes because it's just so powerful, because I really think it's some of the greatest pop music to arrive in 2019. I mean, there's just so much there. Whenever there's so much self-admission of like change and growth and not knowing where you're going. And this is where I'm going to let my geek side shine a fair bit, because right after I started listening to Charlie Bliss, they were on a YouTube show called The Star Wars Show, answering questions about Star Wars. And then I went back and I listened to Young Enough again, and I realized it's totally a Raylo record. It's basically, I could relate all the songs to either Rey or Kylo Ren, and I'm like, oh my god, I know they didn't mean to do this, but it weirdly made me connect to other areas of like pop culture in ways that I hadn't before. I just went deeper in on a lot of stuff that I really enjoy, and I think it's really rare when I listen to a record and it actually makes me go enjoy other pieces of pop culture more. So I think that's just a testament to just how infectious their music is and the kind of impact that it can leave on the listener. Because I know a lot of people have taken a lot of this record. And for me, it's like, not only do I look back on my personal growth, the way that they're doing in this record, but I can look at fiction and pop culture and all this awesome stuff and start to see this kind of theme stand out even further in very crystallized ways. So like, I think that's just a huge feat in that they can do that, this record. And Charlie Bliss is like, freaking crushing it this year between dropping a record and then Supermoon on top of that. So, I mean, I feel like we could just talk about their record for and all their music they just dropped in 2019 alone, like for the next hour. But, you know, it's just so easy to do because they're such an impactful band.
Yeah, Young Enough is my album of the year. I felt such a connection to this album, and I have been tweeting about it nonstop, and I probably still will. The connection I have with this album is just unspeakable, and the perfect blend of pop and production just surpassed everything that I thought they were going to do with this record. And I definitely want to interview Charlie Bliss when I grow up, because I think that they can only go up from here. I have nothing but good things to say about Young Enough. I think the title track just sums up everything about growing up and what comes with that. And when Eva hits that, I think it's, I don't know what note it is, but it's a high one, and it's great. But I just, if you haven't heard it already, I definitely recommend it. It's so good.
I get chills just thinking about this record. I don't know about you.
Same here.
It's so another good. One that I just downloaded.
It's so, so good. This one will, like, I mean, I rarely say this about music, but this is one that will probably change your life.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A lot to live up to. I'll keep you updated.
Please do.
Okay, I'm going to go with this guy. Heart Attack Man, Fake Blood.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I love Joel. So much. Joel's going to have a lot to say about this one, too. So Heart Attack Man, I got into Heart Attack Man from their last album called The Manson Family.
And again, this is another case of like, I heard it and I was like, this is kind of good. I like this. Okay. And then they put out the single, their first single, which was Fake Blood, and blew my goddamn mind. Absolutely. How good it was. they really do a lot for, I'll say, as a musician that was just somebody that plays guitar on the regular, I don't know if anybody can make just a power chord hit as fucking hard as they can. Like, not since, like, I don't know, like early Weezer has something as simple and easy as a power chord hit so fucking hard.
Impactful.
Yeah, man. And like their chord structures are they're so simplistic yet so awesome. And lyrically, it's just a killer. I mean, it's just like, it was a massive glow up for them.
100%.
Yeah.
The Manson family was really put like the slacker in their slacker pop sound they had going. And then they just like kicked the walls in, kicked all the doors down. We're just like, no, fuck it. We're going to be loud. We're going to be fast. We're going to be mad.
Yeah, it's huge. Another thing I'll say lyrically is like, I kind of fucking love how petty it is in certain points.
Oh, 100%. And that Eric totally just wasn't afraid to be like, no, this is how I feel. This is the exact wording I want to use. This is exactly what I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's a little bit how like everybody feels like when you, I don't know, when you think about somebody that was like a dick in high school, when you get older, a lot of people tend to like wave that off and be like, we were kids. I love that he has grown up. He's like, no, fuck that guy. That guy was an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. He literally just wants to watch you squirm and suffer. I love this record so much. I got into Heart Attack Man at the end of last year with, they released a single with McCafferty, a split with McCafferty. They had their two songs, 99% and 100 Milligram Millennial. I listened to those two songs so much at the tail end of 2018 that 99% was my most streamed song on Spotify last year. And then Fake Blood, I'd been hyping this record before I'd even heard a single song off of Fake Blood. There's just something about Heart Attack Man that from the personality they have, their online presence was enough to get me so excited to hear whatever they were cooking up. And then they delivered with the lead single. And I think this album is going to continue to grow on more and more people. And there's something about how, like Casey said, it's so simple, but there's just something so impactful about this record. It's a real punch in the face for sure. So my next one is Bring Me the Horizon's Amo. A huge departure for a band that I really pretended to like in middle school. I don't think I could name you a single song off of their first few records, but it was a band that I pretended to like so much that I think I convinced myself that I liked them. And then I'm a huge sucker for big pop songs, and this record is full of huge pop songs. It's cool to see a band who's like, yeah, I know that you definitely expect us to just scream and nothing but riffs, but here's what we're feeling right now, and it's Ollie singing over a synth or maybe a breakdown that's just a guest spot where some guy's beatboxing for 45 seconds.
I definitely had no idea that they went in that direction.
they're doing what they want to do, and it's just cool to see a band willing to change so dramatically and not be apologetic about it.
I definitely agree. I did not become a fan of Bring Me the Horizon until their 2013 record, because that was when it got less heavy in a way that I can this is a good record. So definitely recommend Follow You from That's the Spirit if no one's heard it. But yeah, Amo is fantastic, and it's so big and bombastic and just fully embraced with pop, and I really respect that, and I think it's a really good record.
Yeah, I love when a band's not afraid to call out their audience either. So they have there's a song on this album called Heavy Metal, where the chorus is just literally calling out anybody that's talked shit about the way that their sound has changed. And I think that's probably more punk rock than anything this band's done in a long time. So
my next one is When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go by Billie Eilish. At first, I was so elitist about Billie. I was like, I'm a grown woman. I do not need to hear about this mumbling 17-year-old kids. And then I heard it and I was like, you know what? I was being a jackass. This record is so interesting and so phenomenal. And I think pop music needs a breath of fresh air like Billie. And I'm so glad that this record exists, because it's just, it's fun, it's carefree. And it's just like, if you, you know, just want to vibe out to Billie Eilish, then there it is for you. And I listened to Ocean Eyes recently, changed my life. So I'm fully on board with the Billie train.
Yeah, I think I found her last year when I was doing the MWE on Twitter, which is like music writers listening to one new album a day and making a tweet about it. So I'd listened to Don't Smile at Me, the first EP, and you know, I really enjoyed that one a lot. And just kind of would revisit it every now and then. So I was definitely like excited when the full length was coming out, and it definitely. I think I like the EP a little more, but it's a very like a jump in sound for sure, and like some of the bass on the album is like so good, and I mean it is a really great pop record for sure.
Yeah, I think Billie's pretty easy to write off if you're not actually going in with an open mind, just because of how big she got and how quickly her career's kind of taken off. It's very easy to just be like, no, that's not for me. I'm good. I'm gonna pass on that. But I love the songwriting on this album. I think that she and Phineas are a great brother-sister team. I think everything they do is great. She's definitely a breath of fresh air for mainstream pop music, and I'm excited to see what she does next.
Okay, and I'm going to follow that up with some twangy emo in the vein of Downhalls, Sick. Before You Fall Asleep. I have been a fan of this band since I think Gordon had emailed me back when I was still at 36 Vultures. I believe the subject was Pipe Dream Premiere Request from a Band You've Never Heard Of or something like that. And
wow.
That definitely got me. And since then, I've premiered something from all of their releases. And Before You Fall Asleep was one of my most anticipated albums of the year, just because the three previous EPs were showed such growth between them. I knew this was going to be just like one that like knocked it out of the water, and it certainly exceeded my expectations. You know, it's some of the most personal writing that Gordon has done, you know, really kind of digging into like a really hard time in his life that luckily has passed, but he had the joke of tweeting out like the day before it came out, like, I know all you're going to hear this tomorrow and are going to ask me if I'm okay. Just know like it's past that. It's, you know, one of my favorite albums of the year. It's such a unique sound. Like I said, it's like a twangy emo, like no one has a voice like Gordon, and the instrumentals certainly like back it up. And there's lots of great hooks, great lines. I mean, Fast Food Frantically Outside of Therapy, 10 minutes late, really 10 years late now, is one of the best lines of the year, and or 6 years, not 10 years, but yeah, just love this album. I'm so glad to see that it's been kind of blowing up a bit.
Yeah. Downhall rocks. They're great. That album is extremely good. That almost made my list, but I didn't put it on there just because I knew I was going to get to talk about it, because I knew you were going to put it on there. So yeah, it's extremely good. And on top of that, they put out Tornado Season within the same year, which is a little EP. That is also, that might be my favorite song by them.
Yeah, and I mean, they're hard at work on LP2, it looks like, so I'm definitely stoked for that.
I think the next one I would like to talk about is going to end up being Queen of Jeans, If You're Not Afraid, I'm Not Afraid. So this is a band I've always been fascinated with, but I think they really just outright captured me this year, honestly, with this record, because nobody's making music that sounds like Queen of Jeans. I can say that outright, because it's kind of got a little bit of that like indie rock meets 60s, 70s, like girl group kind of sound. But I feel like, yeah, it's gorgeous. And I mean, there are many people who have attempted to perfect this sound, especially in like modern indie rock, but nobody does it like Queen of Jeans. And this record is so great because I feel like it's such an encapsulation of both struggle and self-liberation in many ways, but it's in a very upbeat, artistic way. I feel like the way that Queen of Jeans handles things like situations that are both personal and political, it feels so conversational, like you're sitting there talking to your friend about these issues and stuff from somebody's direct perspective. And I feel that especially with Tell Me. I just feel like I'm always getting so much closer with their music, and it's so personal and rich. And I mean, the fact that Mary was able to put out this really personal record and really continue to put so much work into it in spite of like the loss that she's had in her life. I always am going to admire that about her as a person, but like the next level of just the art that goes into this record is just unforgettable. I mean, I fell in love the first time I heard Get Lost. That song I'm gonna be forever obsessed with.
Yeah, I was hooked pretty much right away. I think my favorite off of it is Only Obvious to You.
That too.
But when I heard this record for the first time, Jamie Coletta had emailed me telling me that I had to listen to this band. She sent me the record, and I think I responded calling them. I said it feels like a wine drunk version of the Cranberries. Like it's just so like the lyrics are so subtly pointed. But it's done so it's beautiful, and it's just the songwriting is incredible. They have that sweet, it's a voice you can get lost in, and then by the time you realize the depth of what you're listening to, you're already so caught up in it that you can't help but just fall in love even more.
Right, because then like the next lyric, whatever's coming next, I feel like it almost like subtly creeps up on you. Next thing you know, you're like completely invested in whatever song, riff, whatever moment that you're in, and you feel like you're in the moment with so much of this record.
Yeah, they really do a great job of creating an atmosphere for you to just fully get lost in.
Right. I am hopeful that they'll make their way down here to Florida soon so that way I can see them again. Just because they're such a tight band. And I just love their personalities. And I love everything that they put into their music. And yeah, I feel like If You're Not Afraid, I'm Not Afraid, it's just perfect record. I think that it really just cemented my love for this band, and I can't wait for more music from them, truly.
I'm running out of stuff here. this is my second to last one. Free Throw, What's Past Is Prologue. Again, following my trend of a band that I wasn't super into, but thought was pretty okay. I really love this record. I just think they kind of finally found the sound they've been looking for. Like if you listen to the first two Free Throw albums, they're kind of all over the place. And they're very disjointed, and they're playing with a lot of different kinds of sounds in terms of maybe picking a spot within a genre. And then also just tonally, again, like a thing I hear just from playing guitar and stuff, is like, you know, their first album has no distortion on it. All the guitars are clean and stuff. But I think they finally found what they were looking for. And in doing so, I would say that lyrically, like, it's better than it's ever been. And it's really... like the Journey is kind of an album from the singer's perspective about learning to love yourself, which is, you know... Who doesn't need to hear more shit about, you know, trying to love yourself? I do. And outside of that, it's just like, it's so heavy, and the guitars are so intricate and good. Like there are good, but there are bands with three guitar players where I'm like, yeah, you probably didn't need that third one. they need that third one. They earned their third guitar player in my mind.
Nice. Okay, so we already talked about my number three or my number four, so I'm gonna just bring up one of my honorable mentions real quick. Came out I think last week, maybe the week before, but Northbound put out an album called Soul Kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, this band, I think I heard Northbound for the first time. It was maybe 2012, 2013. He put out a split with Ryan Scott Graham from State Champs under the name Speak Low If You Speak Love. It was just kind of sloppy acoustic songs. I kind of lost touch of this band a little bit after they released their debut album, Death of a Slug. Wasn't huge into what he was doing on that one. And Soul Kiss is start to finish some of the catchiest songs that I've heard all year. I can't stop listening to this record. Very long, the first three songs, Very Long List, Bad Blood, and Alone. Just three of the biggest songs that I've heard all year. The hooks are enough to, you know the chorus the first time you hear it. You're singing along the second time it comes around. This record's incredible, and I think this is really going to push Northbound into a whole other ball field.
So I'm actually going to do these next two together because I kind of have the same things to say about them. And these will be my last ones because we already talked about Charlie Bliss, but my number three is Four of Arrows by Great Grandpa. And my number two is Norman fucking Rockwell by Lana Del Rey. And I think both of these records are really defining for the artists themselves. I think they're big departures from previous works, but in the best way. With Four of Arrows, we really saw just a step in a completely different direction from Great Grandpa. And when I interviewed them, it really stemmed from wanting to make music that they wanted to make, aside from music that people wanted to hear. And I definitely think Lana has done that as well, with just saying, fuck it, I'm going to make whatever I want to make. And it's something that is completely individualistic and gorgeous and has great melodies and great vocals, and the lyrics are just magic. I think Bloom is actually, it may be my song of the year because it reminds me
incredible.
Of Rush by Ellie and AJ, and everything about Ellie is really, like, fantastic. Yeah. So yeah, I love those two records. I think they are great expletives for 2019, and I think they're fantastic.
Yeah, I was blown away by Four of Arrows the first time I heard it. Great Grandpa was a band I tried to listen to Plastic Cough. I couldn't get into it. I was skeptical about going into Four of Arrows just because I didn't listen to the singles, because again, I was going in thinking I didn't like the last album, I'm probably not going to like this one. Saw enough talk about it on Twitter that I was like, I'll listen to Mono Nowhere. Like, I'll listen to a single, see if I like it. If I like it, I'll listen to the whole thing. And I was just like, I was hooked instantly. And then when I did start the album, Dark Green Water was such a beautiful way to start this album.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely loved that track. And then, like you said, Bloom might be my song of the year. It's one of the most beautiful things I've heard in 2019. That album is absolutely incredible. I love what they're doing.
I'm going to hop on to Glass Beach, the first Glass Beach album, which is a very late addition to my list, but I think I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I tweeted about just like, what are albums that you think not enough people are buzzing about this year, and someone had replied with this album, and I was retweeting all the albums that people were sending over, and this one, the album artwork really caught my eye. It's like this red sun on a black sky in front of like a kind of super teal, like washed outy beach. And as soon as I put it on, I was fucking hooked. It's a super diverse record. They kind of call themselves post-emo. I think there's so much on it that you kind of, whatever you're into is what you're going to pull out of them. There's definitely lots of like electronic-y, like vaporwave-y stuff, some pop, a lot of some rock, some punk. I know they mentioned when I talked to them that like Jeff Rosenstock was a big influence on them. And it's just like a super eclectic record, an hour long, and literally the first time that I listened to it, I put it on repeat, listened to it for a second hour. They just signed to Run for Cover Records, and I'm really stoked to see what comes next from them.
I can't resist talking about this one. I was going to try to save it for the end, but I think I'm ready to talk about it now, and that's going to be Lizzo, because I love you. So I think one of the things that ultimately drew me to this particular record was I think I had this realization at one point that Lizzo is the person I've always wanted to be, like my aspiration. And to hear a record that just completely encompassed all I wanted to be as a woman of color, as a person in general, the confidence, the emotion, sharing my emotions on my own terms, my vulnerability on my own terms, but also like unapologetically kicking ass is just so empowering. And I mean, I could break down every song on this record and tell you how impactful it is because there's just so much there. But I mean, the first time I heard like a Girl, for example, even just a song like that, where it's just, it's poppy, it's fun. And I just felt very confident. And I feel like that's something that Lizzo brings into every single song on this track, even whenever it is expressing vulnerability, there's a confidence to it of like, this is it, you're going to deal with it. And wow, that was just huge to hear just lyrically throughout this record, much less just the variety of sounds that Lizzo just brings to music in general. I remember I actually realized at one point watching one of her, I think it was like a recording of one of her like actual shows and stuff. And she's fucking playing flute up there. And I'm like, I guarantee you if 12-year-old Amanda had seen Lizzo playing flute, she probably would actually kept at it. Because that was just so awesome to see that kind of variety and that creativity and just like talent showcase throughout just Lizzo's music in general. But like, I mean, I can't say enough for how much impact this record has brought to me, to so many people out there who just love not only the variety of Lizzo's music, but the voice behind it.
Yeah, this is 100% my album of the year, just because it's an album I can put on literally anytime. Like, I can be in whatever mood, and I'll always want to listen to it. From, like, the first time that I heard the intro to 'Cause I Love You, like, those crazy intense horns, I was hooked. Every song is a jam. I mean, you have, like, 'Cause I Love You and Juice, have kind of, like, the more, you know, retro poppy vibe.
Right.
Jerome and Lingerie are, like, sexy as hell. 'Cause I Love You, I mean, Like a Girl, and I can't even think of what other song I'm trying to think of, but, like, super, like, empowering, and just, like, I don't know, it's everything. Like, it's just my favorite album of the year, for sure.
It's so tight, and, like, it's really funny, because I go to an exercise class every week, and I told my instructor, because she'll occasionally slip Lizzo onto the playlist. I'm like, I'm telling you, if you put Lizzo on the playlist, I will do whatever the fuck you and she tell me to do. I will do push-ups. I will do sit-ups. I'll do whatever you tell me to, because that's bumping.
I totally agree. Like a Girl is just such a bop. I love it. And the whole album makes me feel like Lizzo is kind of like my big sis, because it's emotional and unapologetic, and I love the mix of R&B, retro, and pop, and in a couple songs she just takes you to church, and I love everything about that.
Well, I got one more, which would be Prince Daddy and the Hyena, Cosmic Thrill Seeker. If I was gun to the head, pick a number one, this is gonna be the one. I don't even know where to begin. it's a concept album. Almost all the songs blend right into the next one. It has a narrative telling a story about the singer Corey's mental health.
Basically three different stories at once.
Yes, but they all have something to do with each other.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's the musicianship on it is, I'll say this, I'm the main songwriter for our band, and I put most of it together by myself, and I know that Corey did the same. I don't know how the fuck he was able to do this by himself. I really don't. I'm too fucking smooth-brained or something to be able to wrap my head around that sort of musicality.
it's beautiful and it's moving. Like, I don't know, there's stuff that'll bring me to tears. So a lot of it has to do with like the Wizard of Oz is sort of like the parallel that he's using for the story he's telling about himself. And there's just portions that are like, there's a line he says, I tried on those red slippers, I guess I just missed the feeling. Makes me cry every time I hear it, of just not being able to get the same feeling out of something that once made you feel good. It's it's kind of it's a little bit of a tragic album, but it's also hopeful and beautiful. I love it. Also, we played with them this weekend. It was really nice. They just played that album from start to finish, which rocks. Yeah, that's like another weird thing that has happened this year, is that like that is my absolute album of the year, and also I've become friends with them.
Yeah, I don't know, this album, I was completely blown away by it. I liked I Thought You Didn't Even Like Leaving, but I couldn't have ever expected something this like massive to come from the band that put that record out 2 years ago. I think when this record came out, I said it was probably this band's like the Black Parade. It's just this huge anthemic. It's got this overarching narrative. I mean, Corey's vocals, as shrill and as like grating as they can be, they capture every single emotion that he's trying to pour into this record so perfectly. I don't know. I'm speechless. I'm like, this God stops every time I try to talk about this album. I love Cosmic Little Secrets so much.
It is really hard to try and put into words, like more than maybe any other album I've ever heard. Like, because I want to tell people to listen to it, and I immediately turn them off by being like, oh, you got to listen to this band, Prince Daddy and the Hyena. They're immediately like, yeah, well, fuck you. I'm not going to listen to that, actually.
So I've tried to skip past even saying their name. I'm like, you've got to listen to the song. Let me play it for you. But then, like, if they don't know what to expect, I'm like, I start them off with the first track, and it starts out all nice and acoustic, and then it's just Corey's like wailing vocals, and they're like, nah, I'm good. Thank you so much, but I'm gonna walk away now.
Because every time that you go back to listen to this record, I think it's why it's so difficult to describe. Is because I don't know about y'all, but every time I listen, I find something different that stands out to me every time.
True,
whether it's a different lyric or a different, just like the way the songs are structured, a certain riff or hook or whatever. It's just like every time there is something different that ropes me in. And I think that just goes to show how much variety in that was just packed into each song, because as it was kind of mentioned earlier, like, you know, every song is a story within a story. And we have these themes of like, you know, it being tied to Wizard of Oz and everything. So you're thinking about consciously like, okay, this is like a pretty critical piece of like literature and film and like in pop culture, right? So you're taking it through that lens. But then you go again on another ride on Cosmic Thrill Seekers, and then you're thinking about maybe a specific like part of the heart or whatever and how that ties into something. And then I think the best way I can describe my feeling towards this record, and I tweeted this whenever the record came out, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that Cosmic Thrill Seekers feels like doing the Kessel Run during Solo.
Oh my god, yeah, absolutely.
Because you're like high energy, high emotion, you're fucking feeling everything, you're reacting, and sometimes it's unconscious, you're just doing it, and it's the biggest thrill you'll ever experience. And it's the best way I can describe my feelings toward this record.
Yeah, I think this was the worst I'd ever been, was like an embargo. Like, I got sent the record a month and a half early, and Jamie was like, please don't talk about it. And then maybe 2 days later, I was tweeting about how much I love the record. I just could not contain myself.
I love how much people love it. It doesn't quite click with me, but I love how much people love it.
That was the best political answer I've ever heard, Scott.
Yeah, I'm not... I don't really vibe with the record, but I think the reaction to it is kind of hard to ignore. And I really just, like you said, I love how people love it. It's really good to see how people have such a connection with music, and it's always really nice to see that.
Okay, so my number one was Origami Angels' debut album, Somewhere City. Yeah. This is another one that you'll notice a theme here, but when I hear something that I really love, probably one of the first two things I do is one, like, scream, and then text Scott, holy shit, you need to listen to this band. But Origami Angel, I got hooked earlier in the year when they released the Gen 3 EP. I'm a sucker for talking about Pokemon in music. It's a big reason that I got into Free Throw when I got into Free Throw. And then Somewhere City, one, this album absolutely just fucking shreds. Like, there's no reason, or I can't even picture how a band of just two people made an album that sounds this huge. And then, I mean, it's just so aggressively in your face with self-love and positivity that it's hard to ignore. The songwriting's incredible. Fucking shreds. I could listen to this nonstop all the time.
Yeah, I mean, same. Same on everything. Dr. Humps and Find Your Throne are tracks of the year, without a doubt.
Find Your Throne's incredible.
And I mean, what a fucking year they've had with the Holy Split, Gen 3, and Somewhere City. And just like, fucking, so many people are members of the Gami Gang, and I love to see it.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. It is laughably good.
Yeah.
If this album, like, here's the thing is, like, I'm old, and it still resonates with me. But if this came out when I was 15 or 16, I would have a fucking Origami Angel tattoo. I know it.
Yeah. I've been contemplating getting the Somewhere City sign tattooed on me.
Okay. Then I guess it's time for me to make Casey blush a little bit.
Oh, boy.
Because with time, By Virginity was certainly my comfort album of the year. I've been saying it pretty much since I first listened to it, since Joel texted me and told me to listen to it. And I don't know. It's just so good to me. I feel like, I don't know, it's something that I can continuously came back to. It's, you know, the perfect, like, quick listen, you know, half an hour, right about half an hour. I mean, I love the music, like, the way it's like the perfect kind of, like, pop punk with an edge, like, exactly what I was looking for, you know, hints of stuff like Motion City Soundtrack that I feel like, I can't even pinpoint exactly where that would be, but.
I get, like, big The Swellers vibes from this album, so.
For sure, and, I mean, the rallying cry of the album, every day I'm a little bit better, even if it's hard to tell, though it sometimes feels like an uphill battle I'd rather fight than live in hell, is just, it's perfect. It's one of my favorite, again, one of my favorite lyrics of the year, so congrats to Casey.
Yeah, that album sucks, bro. No, thanks. I really appreciate it. I know both of you guys have been very vocal about it, and I appreciate that. Very weird thing for anybody to have listened to it. I didn't think anyone was going to, and then a bunch of people did, and I'm glad people like it, and it's rad. I have too much insight into it.
I think I saw early in the year, Retirement Party had, or Avery from Retirement Party, it might have been on her Twitter, she tweeted, like, what are some good albums that came out this year? And I saw you respond to that from the Virginia Twitter.
It was the day it came out.
and immediately sent it to Scott. So.
Yeah. And we have since become friends with Avery. She, when they came through Florida, they crashed at my house, and we're going to play with them next year. It's cool.
And all these people you say you're going to be playing with next year are going to come to Connecticut, right?
Yeah, totally. I do want to say thanks to you guys, especially. You guys have been spreading the word, and that's really nice, and I'm glad that anybody connected with it at all. I hope it speaks to everybody that has issues with their mental health and toxic masculinity. I'd say were probably the two biggest themes of the record, and I'm glad people liked it.
For sure. So does anyone have anything left on their list?
I got one.
Okay, cool.
Okay, want me to just go for it?
Yeah.
Awesome. So the last one I have on my list is Withdraw by Fresh. They're this really awesome band out of the UK who kind of crept onto my Twitter feed over the summer, because a lot of bands that I really like Expert Timing and Slingshot Dakota, also really good points of reference for this band's kind of sound a little bit. They were all kind of boosting this band. I'm like, I got to check them out. And I fell in love. Withdraw is a really awesome pop punk, indie rock. I don't really know how to describe their sound because there's just so much energy, but there's also just something unique to the way that their song structure works. That's the best way I can put it, but wow, they blew me away from the beginning with the title track all the way up through some of their singles that are just, they just burst with the kind of energy. And the thing is that they do it live too in ways that just, you wonder how a band can show so much love for the music that they write, because they just have pure passion for what they're doing. I think about songs like Going to Brighton that just, you listen to it and you can feel yourself lift. Like, I've literally felt my shoulders physically lift when I was not in a good mood just because of what this band brought to me. One of my favorite actual just like riffs this year that came out was actually on their song New Girl. Look it up. It's really great. It's just the way that the music just kind of like does this twinkle step vibe. There's also a lot of really funny memes around it, but the point being that it's just like it's just this band where you can just feel everything, and I think that was just their intention throughout all of it. But there's nothing quite like screaming, singing along to Revenge, where it's simple. I am valued, I am loved, I will get revenge on everyone who's done me wrong. And whenever you scream this along with this band, you just feel pure catharsis. Fresh is just so impactful in what they're doing. They're a band to watch because they just continue to put out just really high energy, important music that just, it feels good and it feels right. And it makes you feel okay with any kind of emotion that you're feeling that day, because they're going to brighten you up as a result.
Bands from the UK have been killing it this year, and I definitely think they should be on everyone's radar, like Martha as well as Fresh.
The Martha album is so good.
Yeah, they just put out great albums, and I just want to scream them out to the heavens. They're awesome.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Withdraw is an incredible album. Again, I love a hyper-specific lyric, Brighton is a motherfucking bop, and it's killer, and they were fucking awesome live.
Yeah, I mean, they were my favorite set at Fest this year, just because I could just feel everybody's energy, what they were putting into the crowd. And I was standing over by like a side stage area, and I could feel it full blast. And
there was some hype in the room.
There was, and such good people too. Like, I mean, they just delightful. There's no other word for them, honestly. And yeah, I feel like this is a record that definitely is going to stick with me for a long time.
Okay, so that's everyone's list. Do you want to run through and do a quick, you know, just like name an album, honorable mentions, and then maybe a couple bands that you're looking forward to next year?
Let me pull up the list I submitted to the alternative, because that's the only way I'll remember. Just a sec.
Well, I guess I'll go first then, since I wrote a quick list in the doc. Okay. I'll go with Foxtel's Querida Hija, which just like crazy good screamo from Connecticut. Rose Gold and Us We Trust, which is like, they call themselves art punk. I feel like there's a Touche Amore vibe, maybe a little bit of a Day to Remember somehow. I'm not really sure why I feel that, but I do.
Yell
Sox, It's Not Forever is just really great. Pop punk emo, Diva Sweetly in the Living Room, wacky pop, love it. Cold Climate in Decline is just really solid, like, for lack of a better word, angular, edgy rock EP. And Perennials Food for Hornets, they're just kind of like a crazy post-punk-ish band. I don't know, just so much fun. Love them. And I guess as far as things I'm looking forward to next year, Spanish Love Songs for sure. Jelani Say is hopefully coming out with their album. I know there's definitely more, but I can't think of it right now.
So my honorable mentions, I've got, there's a band called Bugs from Australia. They do a lighthearted, like early 2000s take on a pop punk. They released an album called Self Help earlier this year that's incredible and just narrowly missed being in my top 10. I've also got, there's a band called 500 Miles to Memphis. They do this shouldn't work, but definitely does blend of bluegrass and pop punk that I can't get enough of. They released an album called Blessed Be the Damned on Paper and Plastic in February, but it just hit streaming services back in October. Webbed Wing released an album called Bike Ride Across the Moon. If you like what Heart Attack Man's doing, you're going to like what Webbed Wing is doing. It's Taylor from Super Heaven, his new band. I've also got Big Nothing. They put an album out called Chris this year.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, what an incredible record. Again, this just narrowly missed being in the top 10. I've listened to it a ton this year. The dual vocals are just incredible. And then I've got the band Camino's Try Hard EP, big pop songs that I can't stop listening to, just like undeniably hooky stuff. And I already talked about Northbound Soul Kiss, perfect record start to finish. Very excited to dig more into that one as we close out the year. Bands I'm looking forward to for next year. Snarls just signed to Take This to Heart Records. They're putting out an album next month. That's incredible. Definitely one you should be keeping your eye out on. And Super Americans poised to make a comeback at some point next year. So I'm really excited to see what those guys do. I love their take on like big 90s pop rock. So that should be fun.
Okay. Honorable mentions. Mover Shaker. That album's incredible. I've not had enough time with it. Right off the bat, though, the first song is one of the best songs put out this entire year. Latchkey is, if you haven't listened to it, go have your goddamn brain blown out of your skull. Because that's what's going to happen when you hear it. Nice, Never Better. It was a great EP. What else? I'm thinking Terrible People, like Clean Air, I really loved. Japanese band, they're great. We already talked about Downhall, which is the one I had on my list. That's going to be it off the top of my head for honorable mentions. As far as new music next year, Dikembe is going to put out a new record next year.
One of my
favorite bands, and they put out our record for us and have helped us so much. And I'd be lying if I said I haven't already fucking heard that record, and it's going to blow everyone away. I have heard it. It's so, so, so good. I think Sincere Engineer is set to put out a new album next year. And Ron Bithian is the fucking album of the decade in my mind. We've been talking about albums that came out in 2019. I listen to Ron Bithian more collectively than any of that still. And it came out 2 years ago. So that's exciting. New Retirement Party is going to rock.
Hell yeah.
There's a lot of new virginity. I'm excited about that. We're going to, we're starting recording next week, and talking to another record label. And so things are moving along.
Sick.
Awesome. Okay, I'll do my honorable mentions then. A lot of these might be familiar, but I would say Diva Swaley. Freaking love that record. I feel like it came so early in the year, and we should just be talking about it still at the end of the year because it was so tightly written. I'll also mention Evan Greer. She, her, they, them. Awesome record. Really great perspective. Evan is an incredible activist as well as musician. Lisa Prank put on an awesome record. So did Vagabond. Pale Hound, that one was incredible. I will be talking about Pale Hound honestly because of what this musician accomplishes. Quickly writing off everybody else. Field Mouse, Taco Cat. I loved Ska 2 Network's comp of covers. Groundbreaking, honestly. Yeah, truly. I'm a huge fan of everything they do, and they cover everything I love. So honestly, Jeremy forever.
They played on our album.
Fuck yeah, Jeremy rules. Rosa Bardalho's Reef Walker is super impactful. Highly recommend. And then Taina Asili put out Resiliencia. Her music is amazing because it tells a lot of personal experiences with culture. She did some really powerful documentaries that go alongside as music videos, and she tells a lot of really important stories about growing up as somebody with Puerto Rican identity and stuff, and it's just crucial songwriting. So definitely one of the most impactful records I heard this year. But as far as looking ahead into 2020, Frances Quinlan, that solo record is going to probably blow all of our minds. No question. I'm a huge fan of her work and I cannot wait for that record. Also I would say Expert Timing's got an EP. They've literally just finished recording that I am stoked as fuck about.
Yeah. Real quick on that. I've heard a little bit of that too, and it's fucking incredible.
Yeah, those three are some of my favorite humans, period. They're, oh my gosh, I love them forever and so grateful for their friendship and like everything they do. And then I would also shout out Buckeye. They just announced that they have a record coming out this year. They're a really awesome band from like the DC area. If you like kind of that more heavier kind of punk sound, very unapologetically feminist, very fucking loud. Love them. So stay tuned for Buckeye.
Sick. And I know we've been going super long, but I like to close every episode by asking for just a piece of advice or general, like, something you've been thinking about lately, that you would like to share, and then we can wrap it up.
Yeah, who wants to go first on the advice column?
Oh my God.
I can go, because I will give the same answer I gave somebody recently, which is I'm going to, because it's, come on, we're recording right before Star Wars comes out, so I'm just going to go all the way in with it. Two pieces of Yoda advice, do or do not, there is no try, especially when it comes to DIY. You got to commit, you got to put your heart in it, and you can see some really awesome stuff come out of what you care about, period. And then the greatest teacher of failure is, don't be afraid to fail at anything you do in life, because that's going to be how you grow and you learn and you pass on what you've learned. And I feel like I've been sharing a lot of that with myself as well as other people who've been kind of looking to get going whenever it comes to being involved in writing about music, talking about music on a podcast, being involved in the DIY community in any way. So those are the biggest pieces of advice I can offer, especially going into 2020. We're starting a new decade. Don't be afraid to try things and do what you can to grow. It's an awesome time. It's a fresh start.
Word.
I guess piggybacking off of that, the best piece of advice I can give is just, no matter what it's in regards to, just kind of fake it till you make it, baby. Even if it's like self-love, you know, if you don't believe it, the more you talk to yourself positively, the more you just pretend you have your shit together, shit's eventually just going to fall in line. It's not going to happen until you're actively trying to do it. And then the second piece of advice I have is just stop pretending you're too cool to listen to the Harry Styles album. Listen to the Harry Styles album. Fine, fine, fuck.
Awesome. That's the best piece. So I'll say this, and I'm going to talk about our dumb album again, because that's what I did to learn life lessons this year is write that album and record it. I distilled, you know, 6 months of figuring myself out into those 25 minutes. And I'll say this. It is okay to self-reflect on things that happened to you when you were younger. And if you find that you are mad about it or find that you've been mistreated, it's okay to have those feelings, and those feelings are valid. And if somebody hurt you when you were younger, just because it's years later, doesn't mean you don't get to be mad about it. You're allowed to be mad about it. Forgiveness is a virtue, but telling a motherfucker to fuck off is fine too.
Why What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.